I thought we'd get into a new study today and talk about what the Bible says about how the Bible and the message, the gospel, is to be propagated from the time that it was spoken to the writers of the Romans through Philemon, basically, but from the writers of the Bible until the catching up of the body of Christ, how it's to be propagated throughout that period. Kind of the final words of the Bible is to how to carry on, how to keep going. So to do that, let's look in, starting in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. So an apostle is one sent forth, a sent forth one, sent out one. And Paul was sent out to build the body of Christ, to preach the word. Let's go to the second verse. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. Verse 3, I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience. That's amazing. After stoning of Stephen and all that, he has a pure conscience because Christ didn't just wave a wand over him and say, oh, it's okay. He died Saul's death, that he had coming. His unforgivableness, Jesus Christ took on him. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day. So Paul starts off right away by encouraging Timothy, and we need to do that too. We need to remember to encourage each other, speak out, and have encouraging words for each other. Double-edged sword, please post only things that are based in Scripture. Thank you. Same for all of us, actually. A reminder. So, in his encouraging of Timothy, Paul says, going on to verse 4, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. That seems strange, doesn't it? But let's go on. Verse 5, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother, Lois, and thy mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. So, faith in God that had been passed on to Lois, and then passed on to Eunice, and then passed on to Timothy. And Timothy heard the words of Scripture, Old Testament Scripture, in the synagogue where Paul found him in Acts 16, and in the home where Lois taught Eunice, and Eunice and Lois both taught Timothy. He heard the words and he believed it, and he was made ready to receive the salvation that Paul brought, the gospel that was not at all in the Old Testament Scriptures. Let me just see here. Okay. Double-edged sword, that's not in Scripture about Paul giving Timothy his robe. So please restrain yourself. Let's go to verse 6. 2 Timothy 1, 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Paul is in that line of passing on to Timothy the faith in God. And as we go through this, watch the pronouns. They're very telling. Go to verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, But God hath given us, I'm putting that in there, of course, but it's conveying the first part of the sentence to the second part of the sentence, but of power and of love and of sound mind. God has given us those, the spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. Verse 8. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, pronoun there, talking about Paul, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel, according to the power of God. So, the testimony of our Lord is the passing on of the faith, testifying it, testimony of the faith that Paul is sent out to do. I mean, he's sent out to propagate this faith, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. 2 Timothy 1:9, talking about God, the power of God, who hath saved us and called us by with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Going to verse 10. But, and talking about that holy calling, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ. So twice in 2 Timothy, Paul uses the appearing, or his appearing, to refer to Christ's appearing to Paul on the road to Damascus. The other use is in 2 Timothy 4, verse 8. We'll just read that for comparison. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. There's his appearing. The appearing on the road to Damascus with this new pattern of salvation, saving an unforgivable person that could not get into the kingdom and be saved eventually at the return of Christ into Israel, to Israel, by Israel's doctrine. So, and keep in mind, he says, not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing. You can't love something that hasn't happened yet. You hope for it. If you love his appearing, it's an appearing that has already occurred. It occurred in Acts 9 on the road to Damascus. That's the appearing he's talking about there. So, going back to 2 Timothy 1, verse 10, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death. So it's still appointed unto man once to die. Also, the second death is yet future. So what death was abolished? We must look for the qualifier that Paul uses about abolishing death. The qualifier is the last three words of the verse. Second Timothy 1:10, who hath abolished death, and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Believers in Paul's gospel will be raised to life. Disbelievers in Paul's gospel will be raised to the second death. Through the gospel, Jesus Christ hath abolished death. We don't have to go through that second death. Verse 11, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles. So that Gentiles there is what the focus is all through there. He's not only the apostle of the Gentiles, Romans 11:11. He's... Jeff, let me just, if I did, oh, he's not here, is he? Yeah, I hope I clarified that, though, that death was abolished for those of us that believe in Paul's gospel. We don't have to go through that second death. The second death is for those that do not believe Paul's gospel, the gospel of salvation today. But Paul is a preacher of the Gentiles, he's an apostle of the Gentiles, and he's a teacher of the Gentiles. And also, you know, he was sent also to Jews and to kings, Acts 9:15. This is not an exclusive list. This is not the only thing that he was. He also was in charge of the care of all the churches, he says, in 2 Corinthians, I think it's the 12th chapter, somewhere in there, 12th. But Paul is referring to his missionary-type sending out to preach and to teach the Gentiles, being an apostle of the Gentiles, one of several. There were several apostles. That's why here he doesn't say, whereunto I am appointed a preacher and the apostle and a teacher. He says an apostle. That doesn't negate, that doesn't disqualify what he said there in Romans 11:13, that I am the apostle of the Gentiles, the singular apostle of the Gentiles. He was the apostle of the Gentiles, but here he's saying an apostle. There were other. There was Barnabas, Timothy. They were apostles sent out in a missionary type of sending, rather than the only one sent directly by Christ for that purpose, to write scripture, to teach, to open the door for the Gentiles in this new pattern that Christ was revealing and setting up. So it's not Paul's unique apostleship to reveal the mystery, to write scripture, and to care for all the churches. Regarding that unique apostleship of Paul, he says, I am the singular, I am the apostle of the Gentiles. I magnify mine office. God set up the office. And it was for one person, the apostle of the Gentiles. Not some kind of succession or anything. nothing in Scripture about that. About a apostolic succession, which wouldn't apply to, you know, those in the church anyway. The apostles were in the work. They were spreading the gospel and setting up churches. It's you know, the elders, the bishops, the deacons were, for a while, were in the churches while Israel was still in existence to feed the flock. That was their duty, as a, you know, as given to them by the Lord through Paul, for, well, several places. In one place, in Acts 20:28. But let's go on. 2 Timothy 1:12. For the which cause? Well, that, going back to 11 and then going into 12. Whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I suffer these things. And just a reminder, Philippians 1:29, for unto you it is given on the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. 2 Timothy 3:12 also addresses that. But let's go on. 2 Timothy 1:12, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not... Something flashed up here just a second. Okay, I see it. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed. And a reminder about John 17:3. This is eternal life, that they may know thee, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Regarding that committing unto him, look at Romans 4:24-25. But for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, talking about righteousness, if, there's a condition there, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. That's the triune God, the Godhead raised up Jesus Christ from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses, in other words, died for our sins, and was raised again for our justification. Believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Believe on God that he's going to raise you up by that same... He's justifying you. He was raised again for our justification. We're okay with God now. We are not only okay, we have the righteousness of God imputed to us. 2 Timothy 1:13. Hold fast, having to do with propagating the gospel now. Hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me. Not heard of the church, not heard of philosophers that write doctrine for the church. We're not talking about men's words, men's, you know, we're talking about what Jesus Christ revealed to the singular apostle Paul for us to be written in scripture to us, inspired of God. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. So we're to hold them, hold those, the form of sound words in faith and in love, being loving about the application of it. Look at 2 Timothy 2:8. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. The form of sound words which thou hast heard of me. That's what Paul is preaching. Look at 2 Thessalonians 2:15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which thou hast been taught, whether by word. Sounds kind of general so far, but listen to this. Whether by word or our epistle. So he's talking about the traditions, the things that were set up by him as directed by the Lord Jesus Christ from heaven. 2 Thessalonians 2:15. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold the traditions which thou hast been taught, whether by word or our epistle. So hold those traditions you've been taught by our epistle. In other words, not man's traditions, but the traditions that God revealed to Paul for us. Study, preach, keep the unity, forgive others, gracious speech. These traditions, these things that Paul taught, the doctrine of Paul. 2 Thessalonians 2:15 tells us to stick together with the Word of God and with fellow believers. I mean, we don't just say, well, doesn't matter what you believe, doctrine doesn't matter, you know, as long as we're all together, as long as we all love each other. No, doctrine does matter. That's the basis of our fellowship. Look at 2 Thessalonians 3, verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, and not after the tradition which he received of us. Not general traditions that got flawed through the centuries, but the tradition from Paul. It's in the Word of God. It's in the Bible, in Paul's epistles and sermons. So, stay in the Word of God. Fellowship together. And withdraw from the disorderly. These are ways to propagate the gospel from the time of Paul to the catching up, this time that we're in right now. Notice how often Paul emphasizes the importance of sticking with his doctrine, his traditions, his preaching, and his gospel. His gospel. Look at 1 Corinthians 15:1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Is that the first time? No. He says, which I preached unto you. He had visited Corinth and preached it unto them, and he's writing back and he tells them, I'm declaring it unto you, which also you have received, wherein you stand, by which also you're saved. So this is the gospel of salvation. It's the gospel, he calls it, the gospel by which also you are saved. Now, that's not the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom never said you are saved. It talked about if you endure to the end, you'll be saved, in many different, not just that formula of words, endure to the end. I mean, they're to endure a fiery trial of their faith. Their Revelation says they're to be overcomers. All talking about Israel. Israel has never said you are saved until the fountain is opened up in Zechariah 13 and the Lord returns, touches down on the Mount of Olives, and cleans up the mess of tribulation, of the great tribulation and the war. And at it's not going to be much of a battle. I mean, he is going to show his power, the power of God. But the point is that Paul is saying, you are saved by this gospel. If you keep in memory what I preached unto you. See how he's just repeated it. He said it in the first verse. He says it in the second verse again. That's what's important. Keep it in memory. If you want to get saved, keep in memory what Paul preached. And otherwise you believe in vain. Unless you believe in vain, it says there. What about 2 Timothy 2, verse 2? And the things that thou hast heard of me. It depends on what Paul said. We have to get in line with what Paul said. Paul has God's doctrine through Christ, through Paul, for us in the Scriptures. The things you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. There's that continuance right on down through history. Others, you know, those that have believed Paul and the witness that he gave us of what Christ revealed to him, we, each of us in this room, hopefully, commit those things to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. That's a further step. That's down the road. That's not right now necessarily, but it's up to us to commit it to others, to commit it to those who will be able to go on teaching others after us. All right, back to the line of verses where we're in there in 2 Timothy, going through the first chapter. Let's go to verse 14. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. What good thing? Well, what good thing is Paul talking about there? Look in 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 2. And sent Timotheus, our brother, and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. So what good thing is in him? Well, the gospel of Christ. Paul sent him out with the gospel of Christ to those that he had briefly preached to in Thessalonica. They had heard the gospel of God, that Jesus was the Son of God, that Jesus was the Messiah, and that he had risen from the dead. But they hadn't heard that Christ died for your sins, believe on him to life everlasting. They were not up to that point. They had just heard, some of them believed, that Jesus was the risen Messiah. And they were ready to be told about how to be saved, that Christ died for their sins, believe on him to life everlasting. And they ran him out of town. The unbelieving Jews ran him out of town. And he didn't get to tell them. So he sent back Timothy, and you read about that in 1 Thessalonians 3, 2 that we just read. And sent Timotheus, our brother and minister of God, and our fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you. Establish means build you up. You had come so far, you had believed who Jesus is, now he wants to establish them concerning their faith in him, that Christ died for their sins. That's the gospel of Christ that he sent Timothy with. That's the good thing which was committed unto thee, in 2 Timothy 1:14. Let's go to verse 15, 2 Timothy 1:15. This thou knowest, that all they which are in Asia be turned away from me, of whom are Phygellus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me, and was not ashamed of my chain. Can we say that about ourselves? We often refresh those that are fellow laborers today around us, those in this room, those that we come in contact with in our families or in our gatherings, whether it's church or Bible study or whatever. Be an often refresher of those around you. That has to do with the propagating of the gospel, the sending it further as we go down through history from the time of the writing of the gospel and the epistles of Paul down to the time of the catching up of the body of Christ. Being refreshed, the giving of refreshment to others, is part of that propagating of Paul's gospel and the body of Christ. The churches that are in the body of Christ, that meet together as part of the body of Christ. Let's go on to verse 17 in 2 Timothy 1. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. So, you know, there's further description of how we can be toward others to propagate the gospel. The Lord grant, and this is verse 18, the Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day, and in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus. Thou knowest very well. So, not only refreshing each other, but also ministering to each other helps to propagate Paul's gospel and the churches and the traditions from Paul in the scripture, traditions that are written down that we can read and not just imply or infer or speculate about, but the things, the doctrines that are written in scripture by Paul, rightly dividing Paul's writings from the others that are written to Israel. The rest are to Israel, Paul is to us. That clears up a lot of self-contradictions but apparent contradictions in the scripture when, you know, like between law and grace. How can you have both? Both are taught. Well, law is not taught to us. Law was taught to Israel to prove a point that they're all sinners just like we're all sinners. And, you know, now that Israel has fallen, they're just like us. They can only come to God the way we can only come to God, following the way Paul came to God, astonished, trembling and astonished as he was there in Acts 9, verse 6, when this new pattern of salvation was set up by God, when he believed that Christ died for his sins and rose from the dead. He was standing there looking at him on the road to Damascus. He had to believe it. That was the only way he was still alive. Otherwise, he would have been struck dead as being an unforgivable sinner. He believed that Christ had been gracious to him in paying for the penalty for his sin, the death penalty, dying for him on the cross. All right. Look at 2 Timothy. Let's get into the second chapter there in 2 Timothy. Verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, pronoun my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So not only does grace teach us, according to Titus 2, 11 and 12, but here we see that grace strengthens us. be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me, Paul says, among many witnesses, that's Romans through Philemon right there, among many witnesses, the things we heard of Paul, heard of me, my gospel, remember, the traditions by word or our epistle, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, that thou, that which I preached unto you in 1 Corinthians 15, over and over, it's what we're to emphasize what Paul heard from Christ and delivered to us. So are we starting to see the pattern there? Again, chapter 2, verse 2, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men. Well, what about those faithful men? Timothy is a good example of faithful men. Let's look at Timothy for a bit here, and then we're going to close, not the room, finish for today on this study, though. Look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 to 22. Philippians chapter 2. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. It's like saying, you know, Timothy, he doesn't care about his own things. Verse 21, they for all seek their own, not the things which are of Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served me in the gospel. And that's what we need to do. If we're going to be faithful men, passing on God's word through Paul and through those that taught us and through us to those who are other faithful men that will teach others, we need to go through this same process, following exactly what Paul, the traditions of Paul, the scripture of Paul, the doctrine of Paul, because that's what God is teaching us today. Not that Paul is God any more than Moses was God, but they were to listen to Moses. We are to listen to Paul. You know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served me in the gospel. Okay, I'm done for today, and we'll try to get into a little more of this tomorrow. Any comments or questions? Bring them up.